The Westwood One Podcast Network.
Team Never Quit Radio.
You ever think about quitting?
It's the combat of life, hammering the snot out of you.
Well, stand by, dig in deep, and get ready to get fired up with us.
Welcome to the Team Never Quit Podcast, the number one podcast that inspires you to fight on. I'm your host, David Rutt Rutherford, here with Mr. Never Quit himself, Marcus Luttrell.
Our mission is to help you embrace the suck of life, to teach you the values of working your ass off, and to interview the most hard-charging people on planet Earth.
We know life is hard. It's time for you to suck it up, Buttercup, and let us teach you to persevere in every environment imaginable by sharing real-world lessons learned by those who never quit. That's right. It's time, Marcus, for us to help them defeat the negative insurgency in their lives.
You fire me up. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's roll.
Here we go. Marcus, this is for you, buddy.
Okay.
I want you to watch right now, right there.
Not great. It's a great intro, isn't it?
This is the story of an average guy.
Cannonball.
And a beautiful girl. Hi. Don't tell me your name. I'll just call you Beauty.
You must be a sensitive person. I bet you're a fan of Rod McEwen's.
I try to be. And his best friend.
I am Captain Chaos. Been a cop long?
Right. And a family doctor.
Leash. Come on right here.
And how they all set out one day in an ambulance from New York to California at 150 miles per hour.
Brother.
Now.
But they aren't the only ones.
Wait. Now, when you see the vehicles, you know which one you want to be in, right?
America's illegal Grand Prix.
Oh, of course.
It doesn't matter how you get there.
I love the motorcycle guy, James Bond.
Dude, that is the most...
Burt Reynolds is the defending champion.
Turn that up, man. That music is...
Isn't it? Legendary.
One of those volleyballers?
Cannonball.
All right, you ready for the question? Are you ready?
And Jack Elam. And here comes the competition.
Hurry up,
Dean Martin.
We happen to be in a race.
Sammy Davis. You, Shorty. Where'd you get all that jewelry?
Take a lift. Lift.
Mel Tillis and Terry Bradshaw.
Terry Bradshaw.
Jackie Chan. And Roger Moore as himself.
I'm Roger Moore.
And, ready? And Marcus Luttrell, David Rutherford, and the Wizard, bro. Greatest cameo movie ever.
It is. Man, we're in it. It's now, time to redo the Cannonball.
It is time to redo Cannonball Run. Because you know what we are going to do now? And I'm convinced.
They had on that set. I mean, that had to. You had everybody at one spot having a great time in a race. And they were filming it.
Brother.
It was so much fun.
Brother. So my whole point of this is cameos are the way to go.
Hell yeah.
Somehow, if you can become
the
cameo hero of all of Hollywood, right? And just appear for 5 seconds in every great movie, that's the way to go, right? Not actually to have to act. You don't have to do anything, but if you just become the cameo king of Hollywood, you've made it. And that's what I'm putting forth today, because...
the lady that holds the torch up, she went to Hollywood to be an actress. She's
yeah.
in every...
Burt Reynolds movie?
She's so famous. No, the Universal lady.
Oh, yeah.
You heard her story?
No.
No one ever thinks about that part, right? The lady who...
Wait a minute.
It's Universal, isn't it?
No, it's Foxlight? No, it's...
Paramount.
Nice. Well done there, dude.
I had heard she went to Hollywood to be an actress, and then that's the part she got, and she's been in every movie. I mean, think about it.
And she gets a residual
does
for
she
that,
get a residual for every time that plays?
I think she
Look
does.
Look that up, man. That's pretty cool because it's one of those things that's staring you in the face, right?
Yeah, but you never know.
You're in every movie. You're in the beginning of every movie. You're the most famous lady. No one knows your name kind of deal.
Dude. Well,
the cameo spots. And
so the reason why, obviously, I started this is because, in my opinion, you could be the ultimate cameo king of all of Hollywood. We are bringing on a near and dear brother of ours who is a part of the Wrecking Crew that built and brought to life the zombie, the veteran zombie apocalypse movie. And I remember when I reached out to you and I'm like, dude, you know the Art 15 guys? And you're like, yeah. I go, dude, you ought to be in their movie. There's no Navy SEAL. And you're like, done. And your cameo appearance in that became the head trailer for them. It was one of the funniest scenes in the whole movie.
I had the best classic time with those guys, man. I tell you what, they, it was one of our guys that showed me the first clip of those guys doing their bit.
Yeah, yeah.
As a W guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, check this out. And I mean, that Navy SEAL versus Green Beret, that was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it was
epic rap battle. Navy SEAL versus Ranger. I mean, Matt Best is one of the funniest dudes on the planet, man.
They had this huge misconception. Like, granted, now, the reputation that follows us, I love it. Right? Yeah, I want to be a part of it and this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
But it's different when you get out, right? And there are some situations you're like, hey, man, I'm actually pretty laid back, dude. You know, I'm not.
Dude, people hit me almost now, especially now that the show's been out for 2 years. Still now, I mean, it's crazy. They're like, hey, man, is Marcus really that intense? And I'm like, bro, do you listen to the show? I mean, come on, man.
Right. I'm a part of something that is very, very violent.
Heavy, yeah.
Very heavy, yeah, right, exactly. But if you pull me away from it, I'm just a component. I'm the batter, right? But
yeah.
That was the hard part of getting out, getting your identity back, trying to.
Hell yeah, it
but
is.
But that was the blessing that God gave me, was sending me around the globe, meeting everybody. So I was just integrating into a different platoon, if you will.
Absolutely.
And, man, I had the best time with those guys. Man, they.
Well, I mean, it really, you can see that when you have creative people that get together and put out something cool, it can be a lot of fun.
It was so much fun, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I'm serious about the remake of Cannonball Run. You've been talking about it for 2 years now, and you promised us.
We had to make it work.
You promised us that whoever makes that, we're getting in it.
Even if they don't let us in, we'll get some kind of vehicle to and race past their car. Yeah.
We will break in.
Crash the
There's
shooting.
No way you're going to be able to film that movie because we're going to be there.
We ought to
have to be in it.
You have to hire dedicated security every day. Their job is to prevent us.
I mean, if you're racing across the country, you got to go through Texas.
The question becomes, what vehicle do we drive? Is it the Scooby-Doo van? Do we drive Smoking the Bandit car? Do we drive your car? Dude, we drive your Mustang.
The likelihood of destroying it's quite high.
What?
We might not want to take the Mustang.
I can drive the shit out of something.
Yeah, I absolutely would not let him drive your Mustang.
Oh, my God. I'm the ultimate driver, dude.
You are.
I'm the head
driver. That's the best
part
about that Mustang. When Chip gave it to me, it's the first 40 years.
So yeah.
It's built of iron.
Yeah.
It's made to run.
All right. If I can't drive,
yeah,
we can
pull over non-stop in that thing.
If I can't drive,
we should just drive whatever we steal that morning. That would be more interesting.
When that thing goes out on the road,
what? We have to steal a car?
Yeah, I mean,
every
one
day
we show
drive?
Up in a dump truck, the next day it's a minivan.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Tandem bicycle with a
rental van fight,
machine gun or something like that.
Now you're stretching it. Now you're putting machine guns on it.
Well, that's a good way of looking at it, though, Wizard.
Well,
no, you're smart, though. We plan ahead, right? So we have this to this state, jump into this, into this.
Oh,
and
keep jumping. Genius.
Down, yeah.
Genius.
Nice.
Do you think that they'll actually have a legitimate Cannonball Run while they shoot it?
there is one, isn't there?
I think there is. Yeah, I actually think there is. It's an underground thing.
Our Renegade cameo may actually be the only unauthorized element or part of that race.
Yeah. All right.
Those are the best movies when everybody, all those
the
all
biggies.
That talent, right? All that talent, that all those people that play everybody that we live with.
Totally.
Into one movie.
Yeah.
In a race.
How come they don't? So it makes you wonder why they don't do more of it, right? Is it everybody just everybody, well, the comedy guys do it, right? James Franco, Seth Rogen, all those.
A time period now where it's, you know, we're in war, so tough movies are out.
Yeah.
You know, and we branch back to we need to laugh more, I think.
Amen to that.
You know what I mean?
Amen to that.
I know I'm the last one to be saying that because we're the fighters. I mean, that's kind of hypocritical, isn't it?
No, I don't think so at all, because that's going to go on no matter what. We do need more laughing.
We need to laugh a little bit.
Absolutely right. We need more humor in the world, Marcus. We need more laughter. And that's why I want to say welcome to the Team Never Quit podcast. I'm your host, David Rutt Rutherford, with Mr. Never Quit himself, Marcus Luttrell, and bomb, 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 bomb. That hurt throat, man.
Thank you.
That would hurt.
That was a put-out evolution right there. I appreciate that.
Ouch.
Ow. And I'm dizzy. Dude. I'm pushing it to the tilt with you, brother. All right. Welcome to the show. If this is your first time tuning in, then welcome aboard. We have a doozy in store for you. We've got Mr. Jared Taylor from the legendary Ard15 clothing brand with Matt Bass, as well as a key strategic figure in the monumental new coffee company that is going to take over the world, Black Rifle Coffee. And if you need some drink Black Rifle Coffee.
Officially endorsed by all three of us.
And they're not even paying us for that, right? That's just because we love you guys so much, yep. Right? If you're
Tough guy coffee.
Yeah.
Everybody has a latte. Where's the tough guy coffee line at?
Well, my favorite, man, is the one you got downstairs, dude, is we got Tages in there, you know, Project Warpath brand. I just love that as well, too,
they
man.
They have great names, though.
Oh, they
murdered
have
out, like the different roasts murdered out. They've got
caffeine and hate or whatever. I love it, dude. All right. Before we move on, I just want to give a shout out to Bolster Sleep Company. Now, this company is dedicated to helping you sleep well so you can live life more fully. Bolster weighs their mission and their business equally. I love that about dialed in companies. Bolster provides high quality hybrid mattresses and products that sleep cooler and deliver the energy you need to fulfill your mission. I'll tell you what, my mission every day when I get up is just not to feel the pain, right, brothers?
Yeah.
And I need a mattress for that. Bolster Sleep Company started with the vision that their business could be an opportunity to strengthen communities. They're passionate about their mission, providing high-quality hybrid mattresses and bedding so that they can provide scholarships and funding to vocational and technical schools. They provide permanent, tangible skills instead of products, allowing people to support themselves and their families and communities. Man, you should see what they're doing down in Haiti. I've been down on a mission trip before in Haiti, and these guys are really knocking it out of the park. They're teaching HVAC skills, plumbing, electrical, diesel mechanics. With every mattress purchase that you make, man, that money goes to help these people getting squared away. Bolster goes beyond the mattress to provide you with a quality night's sleep. They also offer adjustable bed, sheet sets, pillows, and a whole lot more. Made and manufactured in the good old US of A with eco-friendly materials, delivery is free and has a 100-day in-home trial. Now, here you go. Make the switch to a restful night's sleep today at bolstersleep.com and use the promo code TNQP for $125 off a mattress or adjustable bed. Again, that's bolstersleep.com, promo code TNQP for $125 off. All right. If you want to know more about why the hell we do what we do, just watch Cannonball Run and you will know. No, seriously, go visit our website.
Don't waste your time trying to figure it out because we can't either.
Well, go ahead and visit our website at tqpodcast.com, where you can totally check out why we do what we do. You can visit every other show we've ever done, posted on there. We're well into the hundreds now. And also, what our favorite part about why we do this are the reader, our listener reader contributions. Man, we have accumulated this incredible group of never quit stories that people have written into the website, sharing their greatest never quit moments with us and our community. Man, and for me, I don't know about you guys, but that is by far my favorite part of what we do, for sure. You want to check out more? We've got great swag for sale. Team Never Quit podcast shirts, swag. Team Never Quit hats. We got it all. If you want to follow us on social media, please, you follow Marcus at Marcus Luttrell, me at Team Frog Logic, and the Wizard at the_Wizard_TNQ. All right.
All right.
You ready to bring that cat on?
Let's do a real quick bit of introduction here for him.
Do it.
JT, also known as Jared Taylor, comes out of the Pacific Northwest there up in Washington State, joined the Air Force, 11 years of active duty, was a TACP, a tactical air control party, started out Fort Bragg. He did a couple deployments in support of OIF, and 2008 he rounded out his time over there as an instructor at that school. Starts getting involved, first of all, with Matt Best and the Navy SEAL versus Army Ranger versus Recon, and all these different rap battles were the first thing to come up. And that blew up for him. And then they kind of just took that and ran with it. And then all their buddies, I guess maybe you could call it a collective. I mean, that's what's
Cameo. It's a Cameo.
They're all
epic.
Integrated into these different projects, running various positions in each one of them. I mean, so you got JT, Matt Best, Evan Hafer's in that group, Ross Pearson. Am I forgetting anybody?
Yeah, Vincent Vargas.
Yeah, there we go. Yep.
Now she went out. You better name all of them.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to lay that on you.
Yeah, Logan Stark, man. And it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Because they really believe that, you know,
creative. They're awesome, man. They're just, yeah. They have a lot of fun together, and you can tell.
Oh, bro.
Everything else is just a byproduct of them having a good time together.
Their new headquarters is hilarious, man. It's this old college that they bought, this old, like, local college building. And there's, like, you'll go past one empty thing, and there'll be, like, arrows sticking out of the wall. You go past another, and there'll be, you know, workout equipment. You go back another, and there's Matt or Evan's office. It's, like, the only furnace.
The camp, right?
It's literally, dude. It's literally. But the wildest thing is, you know, I went out there to do the Launch Code podcast with Evan, and we're walking around, bro, and the clarity of vision that he had. This is where we're going to have our own brick and mortar store. This is where we're going to have the distribution center. This is where we're going to have. And they literally, this is the studio for this. This is the studio. And he had it all mapped out, all vision. And it just really reaffirmed that these guys are firing on all cylinders. They're ready to take this business, to keep growing it, and keep being the inspiration for the rest of those veterans out there trying to find their passion in life.
Oh, yeah. They've been tested on the other side. There's nothing they can't do over here.
Amen.
Yeah,
Amen.
So each one of these brands, they play off the success of the others, and they is cumulatively lift each other up. So some of them are Article 15 clothing, of course, the Range 15 movie that was received $1.2 million in crowdfunding, Lead Slingers Spirits, several different liquors over there, bourbon, whiskey, spiced rum. Major project with Black Rifle Coffee. We've already mentioned that.
A mega.
Highly endorsed. And
massive now. Massive.
Yeah, they're very into veteran, you know, former military, and so veteran employment. And they have big goals of stuff starting to open and become a major brick and mortar chain around the country here. And they just started doing that, right?
Yeah, they're
the first two are about
up,
to open.
They want to open 12 Black Rifle coffee stores in Texas over the next 2 years.
And that's just Texas.
That's just Texas.
I know Evan, who is the head on that project right there, has come out saying that they want to open 1,000
Oh yeah,
of these locations.
You watch. They will.
10,000 veterans to run them over the next 6 years.
I hope they live out every part of it.
Hey,
man. They got a good crew, man.
Oh,
that's a good team, man.
What do you say, gents? What do you say? We bring old JT on board.
Let's do it.
Marcus, now, what's interesting about this one is the alumni perspective with you and he, but not the alumni of being downrange and in war zones, which both of you have done in multiple times, multiple occasions, multiple scenarios. But we're talking about the alumni of something critical to the American public, the alumni of something that reshaped the face of how people... reshaped the fabric of how the American public views veterans and veteran issues, right?
It did do that. It did do that, didn't it?
Big time, baby. You watched Tim's documentary, Not a War Story. Epic. Absolutely, it did. But no, I'm saying the actual content, the importance, the significance of what the movie stood for is imperative to make sure that our listeners know that we have once again joined you two to fight for, not only to fight against zombies, but also to fight...
Human rights.
Oh, that's Jack. We got to get Jack on. But to fight for what really makes people feel good, which is...
Blow up doll human rights.
Blow up doll. Is that what you're going to say right now? That's bizarre.
Laughter.
I'm sure it'll come up. I'm sure that's going to come up eventually. One of us, you know, somehow we're going to get fried for mistreating a blow-up doll.
You're supposed to open the first robot sex doll parlor in Texas.
In Houston. I heard, though, there's an outrage about it, and I don't really understand that. Like, who is outraged by it? Like, who cares?
Well, it's the people that believe that the sex robots are being abused.
Yeah. Rights of robotic sex workers international.
The rights. Oh, that's such a horrible thing. Seriously. Seriously. No, the most important thing in the world, Marcus, is humor. Being able to laugh at yourself and laugh at other people. Is that what I meant to say? That's exactly. So let's bring them on. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Mr. Jared Taylor. Brother, what's up?
Hello, guys. This is a pleasure. Always fun to chat with you. And Dave, I'm sad I missed your visit when you were out in San Antonio. I had no idea until I saw the pictures of you on the set, and I was like, no, I was out of town that weekend.
It was kind of last minute. You know, we were getting ready. We were releasing our 100th show with Rob, and out of the blue, I kind of hit up Aubrey and Mike Ritlin and then hit Evan and was like, hey man, you mind if I come on and promote the show? And he was like, absolutely. And it just kind of happened. It was literally in like 8 days, it all came together.
Been getting a ton of good feedback from that three-part show. Like, everybody loved it. So
good. That's good.
Thanks for coming on, because we always love chatting with you.
You're awesome, dude. All right. Well, here's what we got to do. Before, you know, we know why people here, they want to hear your greatest never quit stories. But what we first got to do, because everybody, you know, you guys have such a massive following, and just to give the listeners an idea, where are you guys at now with Drinking Brothers? Are you coming in on what, 30 million downloads, something insane or what?
Yeah, so it's hard to know now, because before Libsyn changed their tracking system, we had already pushed over 25 million downloads, and that was well over a year ago.
Wow.
And it's looking like we've crested the 3 millions as of about 3 weeks ago per month.
Wow.
So it's doing well. And, you know, we've gotten to, in the last 6 months, we've charted all the way up to number two in our category, Joe Rogan being number one in comedy. So again, it's one of those things. It's so,
that's awesome.
We never saw it. We never saw it coming. It was like, we're going to do this podcast because it's fun. So it's just like, you don't realize that until, like, you know, sometimes I get put on, when we get like a traditional media or something like that, where they put us on a radio show and you finish and the host is like, man, that was a really easy interview. It's like, well, I mean, do you have about 350 hours to do radio?
Right? Exactly. No, I mean, I remember when you guys released it and I was like, man, that is genius. Everything from Range 15 to Drinking Brothers to Launch Code. I even love the Coffee or Die kind of video magazine that you guys are putting out now. I love that. Oh my God. And so what's crazy is,
I just like hanging out with you guys, man. Appreciate that. Thanks for letting me power Howie, man.
We need to do it more, Marcus.
I know. It's my fault.
If we could ever pull him off the speaking tour, we could actually block out some time.
Answer to the boss.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, whenever, anytime you're just getting run down, I mean, I could always meet you out wherever you're at. You know what we need to do with the whole group is we need to go do a lock in with all of us.
Oh man!
In 3 days we have to write our own movie script, and then we'll just put that script out for all the listeners to read it once it's done.
Done. Lock the doors. We got enough food and booze to get us through, and we will come out with the Bex movie.
They should put all of us on a series of that Survivor.
Oh my God! Survivor gone wrong.
That would be funny.
Oh my God!
They took over the island. I don't even know where the camera's at. Classic.
I love it. I love it. All right, where was I? All right, before we can get into nuts and bolts, we got to get warmed up, JT. We gotta stretch out your cerebral. You know, your cerebral cognitive capability. Look, he's doing the calisthenics. I love it. He's ready to go. And we're going to get it done with the Mad Minute. Now, the Mad Minute is the hardest series of questions you will ever be asked in your entire life. I mean, these questions would put Oprah Winfrey to shame. They put Charlie Rose to shame. In fact, they would even have Barbara Walters saying, my God, you guys are amazing.
The brilliance.
All right. So are you ready for the Mad Minute, baby?
Let's get it.
All right. Marcus, fire away.
All right, brother. What's your favorite part of the day?
I would say generally I like really become alive at around 5-6 o'clock, and I've recently put a new piano in my house, so I've been forcing myself to take a break from work for a little bit and jump on that piano and learn something new.
Holy cow, dude! Our interview this morning was with Tony La Russa, right, the Hall of Fame baseball manager, and we asked him. If he wasn't managing me, what he wants to do? Wizard asked him that. He says, I want to learn how to play the piano. What is it about the piano, JT?
Well, I've been playing since I was a kid, since I was about in eighth grade. And then when I got in the military, you can't lug a piano around with you. So that's when I switched to the guitar in airborne school, actually. Like I bought a guitar when I was in jump school. Because, you know, we're released in the evenings at about 6 and you're sitting in those barracks doing nothing. So I just started trying to play the guitar and end up playing the guitar since, you know, 2003. But, you know, always had a piano up until we moved to Salt Lake. I got rid of it when we left El Paso. So when I got this new one a couple months ago, it was kind of refreshing to get back on it. And it's really fun now, like with the way technology is now, you jump on YouTube and say, I want to learn this stick song. And there's 10 people on YouTube that just teach you how to play the stick song. So it's like I can sit at my piano with the iPad and just watch somebody. And that's kind of what's nice about that part of the day is it's a complete reset for a minute because I can dive into somebody teaching me something and I'm trying to learn it. Of course, you know our mentality. When we're not good at something right away, it frustrates us, so we get addicted to it. Until we are good at it.
Absolutely. And the crazy is the neuropathology. They've got all these new studies neurologically that playing music it just sparks every type of cognitive advancement you can have, right? And for you guys that are creating content, in particular you, that is creating content day in and day out, man, what a great way to excite that probability.
We recently had an Air Force doctor that specializes in mindfulness. And, you know, she told us on the show how we generally spend over 50% of our time wandering no matter what we're doing. You know, even when you're talking to somebody right in front of you, your mind's wandering either in the past or the future. You're either thinking about something that you got to get done that you're worried about, or you're regretting something that has already happened that you wish was different. And it's like, when she pointed that out, you start realizing, you start becoming conscious of how much you're drifting when you're doing things that are right in front of you. Playing the piano and things like playing the piano, flying a helicopter, I've found, are the things that can just clear everything outside of your head, because you have to be so hyper-focused on what's going on.
Changes every second. Yeah, right? Getting into something that changes every second is well, your mind's working. That's why it's so fascinating. And the great part about the social media, and it's like, I mean, okay, I want to learn how to do this. So literally, I just look up, plug into my brother or sister on the other side of the earth who's good at it, and they can put their fingers in front of me, and I can walk along with them, right?
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. All right, Wizard, fire away.
I'm going to give you a list of global issues or problems. In rapid fire style, I want you to give me your solution. So within 3 seconds, I'm going to need an answer. Are you ready?
Damn.
Are you ready?
All right.
All right, first thing that comes to mind, world hunger and starvation.
I think we need to be experimenting a lot more in gene manipulation, and we should be building cows the size of elephants.
Good answer. Nuclear weapons proliferation.
Is that like getting rid of them all?
Yeah, well, moving on. Hot dogs coming in packs of 10 while buns come in packs of 8.
I think that's a pretty quick solution, and we just need to roll into the bread industry and tell them to fix their shit.
All right, malaria killing over 1 million people per year.
I think the world could do without mosquitoes.
Game of Thrones fans having to wait 2 years for season 8.
To be fair, you know, it's one of the highest production budgeted, most produced things. It takes that long to make it that good. So you can have a shitty show
faster.
You can 2 years to have a good show.
All right, pizza boxes that are too large to fit in the refrigerator.
That's just, I think that came from communism.
That's communism.
How many more of these things? How long have you, wait, I want to know how long you've been thinking about that shit. That's what
that
I want to know.
It's just been back here in the stockpile
bullshit
of questions.
Bullshit, you've been thinking
stockpile
about
of questions right
since
here.
Deployment. I know that. You thought about it for your entire deployment, right? Yeah. Knowing JT was coming on. All right. Holy
Thank
cow.
You for your participation.
I was going to start my, fuck, that makes my question look dumb, right? All right. What was your first car?
My first car was a Chevy S10 Blazer.
Nice.
Manual transmission.
There you go.
Awesome. Awesome.
Transportation.
Go ahead, Marcus.
All right, brother. If every job paid the same, what would you be doing?
Hunting sex criminals.
Bro, we can get you on that on that detail, that. Man. We got like
we two, know people now.
We know two groups that are killing it out there. Hey, right?
I want it to be perfectly legal for us to finish the job.
Yeah. Check.
No, that might be a bit more complicated. Let's move on to if you had a boat, what would you name it?
Oh, yeah, and that's going to come down to what the type, what style of boat are we?
It's a yacht. It's a 50-foot yacht.
I'd call it should be a jet ski.
It used to be a jet ski.
All right, here you go. All right, here's the scenario. It's you, Matt, Evan, Vincent, Crispy, because by the way, I love the new Crispy interview videos. They are fucking hilarious, by the way. And Logan, and you guys are trapped right in space. Who gets eaten first?
Ooh, well, Crispy, because he's the slowest.
And he's already been cooked?
Yeah. Oh, man.
All we've got to do is reheat him.
Crispy, I love you. You know that I'm sorry, buddy. All right, Marcus, fire away.
All right, what was your fondest memory from the last year?
Ooh, good one.
It was actually getting to, I've been a huge freestyle jet ski fan my whole life, and I got personal one-on-one lessons on how to backflip a freestyle jet ski by the best freestyle jet skier in the world.
Damn, that's freaking epic. Are you kidding me?
That's like bucket list stuff there, Aaron.
That is total bucket list stuff.
It's those moments that we continue to have where you just kind of take that couple minutes to go, this is really what I get to do?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know.
Those every minute.
Yeah, I know you guys, but we feel that every single second nowadays. I mean, it's crazy, right? You
kidding me?
All right, Wizard.
We're actually asking these questions. This is what we're doing.
Yeah, this is JT, our job. Bro. This is our job right now.
We met on a movie set, and now I'm asking you what your favorite superhero is for a living. Tell me we didn't die in combat.
This is too good.
Right? Come on. Thank y'all so much for this job.
Oh, my God. By the way, what is your favorite superhero?
I'd have to say Morph. He's an old
Morph.
School X-Men crew that ended up, he defected, actually, because he was really pissed off that they were doing some things he didn't like.
All right, Morph, I'm going to have to look that one up.
Yeah, but why pick one power when if you're Morph, you can have whatever you want?
It's Mystique's brother, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
You know that. Of course you know that.
Holy Nerdville.
Of course you knew that.
I'm a nerd.
You are a closet nerd.
I have that in me. What's up? I'm also a tough guy. What's up?
I mean, we're the generation.
I'm a Navy SEAL. And I'm a nerd. What's up?
We're the generation that grew up with the cartoon, though. And that was where the cartoon went. You know, Morph had a big role in getting Jubilee and Gambit. Like, was kind of the little crew back then.
All right. I think that's it. I think we're good, man.
That was good.
That was like 15 minutes or something. Yeah, we're holy sweet Jesus. That was, I don't know if I laughed that hard through that one, man. God bless America.
Did we even get through that? Are we doing it? We haven't gotten through the intro or the Mad Minute without breaking down.
No, at all.
That's awesome.
At all.
Man, the routine's out the door.
It's completely gone, dude. All right. Before we move on, we just got to give a shout out to one of our great sponsors, BioWave. Now, wouldn't it be great to wake up pain-free? In fact, I can't even remember the last time I felt that. We talk about it all the time, Marcus, Wizard, and I, right, as well as tons of my other buddies that have been in the teams or special operations. It's just something we can't even remember what that feels like. Now, and instead of, you know, the walking into a hospital or doctor's office in VA and getting prescribed a handful of opioids, which lead to addiction and all kinds of problems, we've got a solution for you. BioWave is the life-changing, non-opioid, effective way to block chronic and acute pain. Man, this stuff is, this device is unbelievable. In fact, 85% of the people who use BioWave experience significant reduction in pain from just one 30-minute treatment. One 30-minute treatment, and you're on the path to salvation. Proven effective over 15 years, used by more than 80 VAs, active duty military units, hell, our brothers in the SEAL teams, and most NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball teams out there are using this thing. BioWave is VVA recognized, VA prescribed, FDA cleared, and made in the good old US of A. Now listen, if you're one of us, if you're a veteran, or you're even active duty military, and you do not want to go to the VA to get prescribed another handful of pills, you don't want to risk it, you got too much going on in your life, and you're just sick of the pain, because this happens day in and day out. We hear it from people, our brothers, all the time through the show. If you want a safe, non-opioid, and effective way to help manage your pain, please go to BioWave.com and learn how to get treatment at no cost, brothers. No cost. Visit BioWave.com. You can read some insane testimonials, some incredible things from our veterans, active duty military, sports people, and everybody else, as well as get into the science of how this works, because it's really the science that separates this device from everything else. BioWave is designed to block pain at the source and is like nothing else out there. Visit BioWave.com, smarter pain blocking technology. Now, JT, as you know, the reason people come here, although we want to believe that it's for the mad minutes, it's not, man. People, our guests, our listeners are coming here because we believe in our hearts they're going through some tough times in their life, as we all do, all throughout our lives. And they have come to our show because we have exceptional people that understand what it means to stay in the fight. We have exceptional people that understand what that never quit mentality is and how it affects other people when they share it. So, JT, without further ado, my brother, would you please share your greatest never quit story or stories with our listeners?
I'll give you the first one because I think all of you are going to laugh hysterically about this, because it also does, it attributes to my character, what type of person I am. And it's how I became a TACP. Okay. Because I had enlisted in the Air Force in 2002, and my
smart.
My contract was for a 2W0X1, which is a munition systems mechanic. So you work on weapon systems. So the gun inside a F-15 Strike Eagle or in a F-15 Charlie model, or you know, you're working on the weapon systems.
Man, which, that sounds cool, right? Yeah, right. Got cool. Man, it sounds so cool. What you, I just put a bomb on a damn plane, dude.
But there definitely was. If you open up my eighth grade yearbook, there's a great picture of me with an oversized Fila shirt on, and it asked what we wanted to do when we got out of high school, and it said, "I want to be a Navy SEAL on SEAL Team 6.
What's up?
So I always had it in my blood that I wanted combat. I wanted the cool job. I wanted the cool gun. I wanted the cool gear. And it was as much as like being able to prove to myself that I could do it, as much as it was to come back home and say, I did do it, because I was a small, you know, 115-pound, not a skateboarder. I wasn't a football player or anything like that. And although my high school class was super nice, where you didn't have a lot of cliques or bullying or anything like that, everybody was super cool with each other. And I'll tell you, our 10-year high school reunion, we were only missing like 9 people. Like, wow. Everybody showed up, and everybody had a blast, and everybody was nice to each other. So it's like,
Where was this, JT?
North Kitsap High School out of Paulsbo, Washington.
Very cool.
Which is just to the north of Subbase Bangor in Silverdale, Washington.
Oh, yeah, I know where that's at.
So I shit to basic training, and I go through this like week of depression, because I realize like when I leave basic training, I'm going to a job where I'm going to have a wrench, and I'm going to sit on a flight line, and I'm going to fix weapon systems that are breaking out in combat. So the first week they tell us that there's this thing called SEER instructors. Yeah. And you can apply, you can get out of your contract if you volunteer to be a SEER instructor. So we go to the briefing, their sales pitch for SEER, and we're about 25 minutes through it. And the guy that slept to my left and the guy that slept to my right, they all came with me. So it was kind of like, okay, let's look at the SEER thing. So about 25, 30 minutes into the SEER briefing, I realized that they don't deploy their instructors. They don't actually, you know, work in combat. They don't have really a mission on the battlefield. And that's when I got up and was like, let's go. This isn't what I'm looking for. So the guys follow me, and we're looking for our platoon of Air Force people, because we were the ones that just volunteered to go look at the SEER thing. And we walk into the classroom. As soon as we walk into the classroom where all our people are sitting down, this giant dude walks in and in beautiful BDUs. He had
the flowing locks.
Yeah, old school Ultima Ultimas with the rippled sole and the green.
Yeah.
He had army patches on both shoulders with his Air Force stripes below it. and he had every school known to man on his left
BDU resume.
Yeah.
He had Halo, dive, jump, like, and then real long hair and long sideburns. And he flips this chalkboard over. And this is how this briefing starts.
He goes, love it.
Who here likes money? And like everybody kind of looks around and raise their hand. Yeah. Oh, I like money. And he writes on the board, you know, $250. He goes, that's how much extra a month you get paid just to do my job. He goes, who here likes skydiving? A couple people look around, raise their hand. He writes it again, $200. That's how much extra you get a month just to skydive. Who here likes scuba diving? Dude, raise your hand. He puts another figure on the chalkboard, and he's like, that's how much you get paid to scuba dive. Who likes going on trips for work? Like, and he puts a number on the board. He's like, that's how much you get paid TDY if you have my job. And then he turns around and he gives this story about a situation, you know, so you're sitting on a hill a click and a half away from an Iranian airfield, and you see the enemy smoking a cigarette next to a ZSU-23-4, and you've got a laser right there, and you put that laser right on the cigarette, and you call an A-10 to shove a Maverick right up his ass, and as soon as you start destroying the airfield, the Army starts parachuting in, and they take it over, and you provide close air support for these guys while they're just ripping through this airfield. And at that point, my eyes are this
they're buzzing out of your head, man.
Just talking about, you know, you're gonna ride on a little bird and helicopters, and you're gonna do this and all, and I'm just like, oh my god, what is this? And he's like, I'm a TACP, a tactical air control party. I'm the Air Force ground liaison to controlling and coordinating airstrikes. I was like, that is it.
I'm in.
So he asks at the end of it, okay, you know, and he's a big, tough guy. He's like, all right, so who wants to try it? And I raise my hand as high as it can go, and I hit my two buddies, like, yes, we're trying for this one. Like, this is it. And he was like, all right, we were the only three that said we wanted to try out of our whole group of about, you know, 100 people. And so he gives us this appointment slip, because you're in basic training, so you're on lockdown, like, 24/7. He gives us this slip that in 4 days we're going to the tryout, you know, and he said, I have three slots to the school. So three of you will get selected at the tryout to get a chance to go to the school and try and make it through. So that next day, you know, he gave us the like min requirements for PT and stuff like that. Cause as a kid, I was only 17 years old and basic, you know, I hadn't done a lot of running. I was active as a skateboarder, but that first day after I volunteered on the track, we were running, and it was super hot out in San Antonio. And I ran right around a 5 minute mile and then passed out because I knew in my head I needed to run around a 14 minute 2 mile. Because they told us, and I had no clue how fast that was. So I was just going. And so, you know, they give me water, wake me up, and you were going way too fast. You're supposed to run 2 miles, like pace yourself. Okay. So go back to doing PT. Well, a couple days later, we show our drill instructor that slip. He lets us go to the tryout. As soon as we show up, there's about 110-ish people there.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah, and I was like, I was really bummed, though, because I was like, yo, there's only three slots to this, like, we're gonna have to kick ass. So we start, the first thing is an Army PT test, and we do the Army PT test, but I'm asking a question every time the TACP recruiters walk by me while I'm doing the PT test. Right. So I'm doing push-ups and I'm like, do we get lasers for our guns? He's like, shut the fuck up. Do we get to ride in a tank or like anything like that? Like what's it like going down a rope out of a helicopter? Like I was doing every time I would do a lap around the track, I would ask another question as I was going through. And these guys are pulling their hair out. So, you know, they do the whole smoke dance, like smoke us up, see where everybody's attitude's at. But I'm still just waiting. Anytime they get within, you know, arm's reach of me, I will ask something else. Yeah. And we finish up that day and they form us all up and they say, okay, you'll be notified the fourth week of basic training on a Thursday. we'll come and get you if you are getting a new contract, and we'll bring the contract. So
anticipation.
I still have that slip.
No.
And even though we're inspected and not allowed to have anything, I had taped it underneath my drawer, and I had a plan. So I waited until that fourth week, and that morning came up, and I grabbed my two buddies, and I said, hey, just come with me and go along with it. And at that fourth week, the drill instructor is kind of warmed up to you too.
Yeah,
you know, he's not all like vigilant. So I just walk up, I flash that paper, which is old. I'm like, hey, we got to go do a tacky thing today. He's like, yeah, I don't give a shit. Get out of my hair. So, and this is about 7 o'clock in the morning. So we start walking on Lackland at having only been in basic training for 4 weeks at 7 a.m. And the only place I know where to go is the military personnel flight, which is where you do all your admin stuff.
Right.
So I walk us to the MPF, which doesn't open until 8:30. So we sit on a bench, wait for an hour until they open. We come and sit in the waiting room, and the lady at the reception desk goes, what are you guys here for? Where I'm like, oh, we're here to meet the TACP instructors or the TACP recruiters. And she was like, okay. And then we just waited until like around 1 o'clock.
Wow.
She came back out and was like, have they still not shown up? I go, no. Do you have a number or something that we can call to find them? And she was like, I'm going to get him on the phone right now and I'll see what's going on. So we hear like right behind the wall. She's like, yeah, you got three people here that said they were waiting for you. And he's like, what? What are you talking about? She's like, yeah, they're right here in the waiting room. He's like, all right, I'll be down there in a minute. So that big dude comes barreling into that waiting room, and he has all these papers in his hand, and he's like, I stand up right away. And he right away, he knows exactly. Yeah. I'm the one that shut up. He goes, oh God, Taylor, what now? And I was like, Sergeant, I couldn't wait any longer. I needed to know if I'm going to the school because I want to be attacked. He's so bad. And he looks at his hand. He goes, yes, Taylor, you got a slot. He goes, but these two didn't. And then he looks at his hand again, and he grabs my paper, and he throws the other papers away. He goes, but now I don't got to find those guys. You two are going to the tech piece.
No way. Oh, my God.
That is awesome.
He brings us all into a room, and he starts typing new contracts for the two guys that are to my left and my right.
Holy shit.
To this day, it was, I think, less than a month and a half ago, the guy that was with me retired as an E7 like 2 months ago, and he had told that story about he would have never been a TACP if I wasn't such a conniving little shit.
That's a great story.
That is never quit to the T, baby. Holy cow, I love it, man. Oh, God bless.
And the great thing was, is he had a fantastic career.
Yeah.
He ended up in a leadership position in the 165th ASOS, which is the Georgia Air National Guard.
Yeah.
And he did great things. He deployed a number of times, and it was like, it's cool. Like,
that's super, you know, cool.
And I had my buddy through the whole thing. Like, he ended up going to jump school with me, and we were both stationed at Bragg, and so it was nice, you know.
That's epic, dude. I love it. All right. Well, that's a remarkable way to get the career going. But obviously, since that moment, you've gone through a tremendous amount of change in your life. Can you first give us a real quick framework of what you were like as a kid? And then also help us understand, because skater to TACP, in my mind, is a big jump.
It doesn't fit. I mean, and it was a huge culture shock because also, you know, my dad was in the Navy for 28 years.
Okay, there it is.
And he was on submarines for the whole time I was in the house. He was on the original USS Seawolf.
Oh, wow.
He was on the Boston, and he was on the Parchee for pretty much his entire sub career. So when the Seawolf was decommissioned and the Parchee took over as its mission, him and his buddies, and you guys might know some of the guys I grew up with.
God. Never forget that name.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I mean, and so My dad was a skater surfer that grew up in Fort Bragg, California, north of Santa Rosa near Mendocino on the coast, and pushed us to do board sports all the time. It was always fun. You know, we had a dirt bike track and a half pipe at our house.
Wow.
And so, I mean, we had it good. Like, I have no complaints about growing up, but then I get out in the real world. And when I got through all the training and went through SEER, went through jump school, and then was lucky enough to get a spot at the Fort Bragg unit, because that's like where you want to go.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, the heart of SOCOM is at Fort Bragg, and this is your stepping stone to get into that world. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the only jump units as well, for attack. So it's a place called the 14th ASOP. So when I got there, though, you know, it was October of 2003, and the boys just finished a doubleheader. They invaded Afghanistan.
Right.
And before coming home, most of them invaded Iraq.
Wow.
Because they had done their tour, and a lot of them were on the plane in Kuwait coming home, and our DO jumped on the plane and was like, who wants to volunteer to invade Iraq now? And they were all fired up. They were like, they just got done with the war. They were like, well, I do.
That's awesome.
So most of them had done a doubleheader. So you kind of walked into the hornet's nest as a young E3. Like, you've got all the boys that just started our generation's war, and they were just in the forefront of it. And it's like, I start naming these names now. They're legends in the community.
Yeah.
Silver Star recipients and very decorated people. But that, you know, it was a culture shock for about a year, because I was now being raised by wolves, like violent, very angry wolves that don't accept a shred of failure. And you better know your job, like, inside and out. And I was telling this to somebody recently about, like, we were on the discussion. It was actually my girlfriend. We were on the discussion about, like, when you see civilians, these like, this new version of firearms guys in the community that have never served, that are wearing all the T1 kit. And she was kind of asking me, like, why does that offend you? I'm like, because... Like, when I showed up to my unit, we got issued, you know, gobs of shit, like all the coolest stuff, but you also got issued all the basic stuff. You had an H harness, your LV, you had your Alice pack, your medium Alice pack with a metal frame. You had and so the rule was at the 14th, you're not allowed to touch the good gear until you have proven yourself, you get certified combat mission ready, and around the time you earn your 5 level as your OJT, it takes about 15 months of on the job on the team before you're blessed off as a competent person that can deploy and work on a TACP team. And so, like, you had all this stuff in your possession, and it was locked away for 15 months while you wore the basic stuff and the camo paint everywhere you went, and the giant, you know, the giant K-pop helmet with the cloth helmet cover. Until you earned the right for one of your senior E4s or E5s on the team to say, okay, you're now blessed off, and you can now dip into the good gear, and you can look cool. So it's like, of course I'm going to have a stigma when I see civilians wearing, you know, an Ops Corps helmet with a Peltor headset. It's like, you don't even know what those Peltors are supposed to plug into.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
All right. So you moved through your career, and obviously, you know, you were a TACP during the heyday of Iraq, Afghanistan. You know, after going through all of that and making the decision, you know, help us understand why you wanted to get out, why you didn't want to do your 20, and what were you hoping to achieve by making that transition. And like the rest, you know, we've had Matt on, we've had Vincent on, we'd have Evan on, and everybody talks about how scary that was, and really making the decision to find great calling and purpose in your life.
Well, it all started when I became a TACP instructor in 2008. So I moved down to Herbert Field, and at the time I had just re-enlisted, so I got a bonus, and I spent my bonus on camera gear and an editing machine, because that was my passion all along, and I'd been making cool videos for the unit up to that point, but now I wanted to get serious with it. And it was after my first divorce where I couldn't afford the child support and the house payment that I was like, I have to do something else for money.
Wow.
To survive. And that was kind of like the day like that I moved back into the house that I had owned and started realizing like I wasn't making enough money to do anything. It is when I picked up the camera gear and just got in the car and I started driving until I saw something or somebody or a business. And yeah, I think I want to say the first guy I came in contact with was offering those ultralight flights in Navarre. And I just pulled over and I said, "Hey, how about I film you a commercial, you know, for $200? And he was like, "Well, yeah. Okay." So I got three free flights out of it.
That's awesome.
I filmed him a commercial. So I'm having fun. I'm filming. I'm going back and I'm editing and having a great time doing it and then getting paid for it. And from there, I remember I went to, there's a small trade show that goes on in Fort Walton Beach every year. I forget what it's called, but it's like a little mini SHOT Show. They have a lot of MOH. I'm sure, Marcus, you've probably spoken at it before.
Yeah, I know.
The Special Operations Warrior Foundation is kind of the one that runs the whole thing.
Yep. Yeah.
But so I went to that trade show with a photo album of 4x6s that I printed out from Walgreens of guns and other things that I had put together with just the tactical stuff. And I went to every booth and said, here's what I can do and the guys that I run with can do, because we kind of had a photo graphics guy, which is Gary Stevens, now the head designer of Black Rifle Coffee.
Wow.
Still to this day, you know, him and I were working together to try and just generate, you know, extra income and the start of a new business. So I went to every booth, showed them this ghetto photo album and asked if they would hire me to take pictures of their products and put them in the hands of guys that would use them, you know, downrange and things like that. And it just started trickling. And then there was kind of a tipping point when Tiger Swan,
I remember them
shooting course out of North Carolina. They had hired a big production company from California that was super expensive, and the director or producer was a young guy, and he got onto the range and started asking them to like shoot a different direction, and the guys were having to explain to him like, "No, this is a range. We can't cater to what direction you want us to fire these guns."
Right.
So they end up disagreeing and firing this crew, but Tiger Swan needed a bio video and this Army Ranger Hall of Famer, he had told him, call my friend JT, and he'll take care of this for you. And so we got the call from Tiger Swan. Within a week, me and a fellow combat controller that was a prior TACP drove all the way from Florida to back to Fort Bragg. We were on site with Tiger Swan for no more than 3 hours. We showed up, set the cameras up. We did the interviews. We got all the B-roll. We drove home, and in 3 days, I mailed Tiger Swan a DVD of the product that they were absolutely looking for. And I've heard still that they still play it sometimes to this day. And that was 9 years ago.
Yeah, I remember when they were releasing that.
So it was those guys that had put out the word that we were really easy to work with. We knew how to capture that style because we come from the community, and then we're super quick to turn around.
Yeah.
And that's when the phone started ringing. After that SHOT Show in 2009, we started getting calls from everybody, and it really ramped up that photography and ad business. So 2010-ish timeframe was when Gary and I started this thing called the Botstick Collective. That was our film and design firm. We did a calendar project in 2012 called Clips and Hips just to try it. I mean,
right.
See if it succeed. We ended up distributing to a lot of, you know, it was the first time we took money from an investor. And within 3 weeks of the calendar going live, we were able to pay the investor back plus his interest on his terms.
Wow.
And we considered that a success though. We didn't make any money off of it, but we took on an investor and we paid him back.
And cleared it.
And we, that's good. And we had this project that, you know, we had this 8 months worth of work that was real good experience for me and Gary going down the photography world and the design and layout and getting models and making commercials for it and everything.
And you had no experience, no help. There was nobody out there, JT, going, you got to do this. When you work with an investor, you need to make sure these terms are in place. How the hell did you learn this business stuff?
Trial by fire.
Wow.
He's just going for it. And then, you know, 2 years later, I meet Matt and was just so encapsulated with his camera presence and his writing ability. Matt, all the stuff that you see and have seen, Matt, it comes from Matt's head. He writes all the lyrics. He writes the music. He writes like he is an amazing writer and he's amazing in front of the camera. Yeah. So it was like that was kind of my missing piece at that point. It was like, I can do everything visually, but I'm not the spotlight guy.
Yeah.
So meeting Matt was just, it was perfect. You know, he flew to El Paso. We filmed a bunch of videos. We took a bunch of pictures and just started putting out, you know, him as a brand, the MBest 11X.
Right.
And right away, all my industry people that I was working for at the time started picking up the phone. How do I get Matt Best to endorse my product? How do I get? So I told Matt, I was like, hey, I've been doing this for a while. At that point, it was about my fourth year, like, inside the tactical industry and working with the businesses and things like that. And I was like, you can go this route, but it puts a time stamp on how long you'll be relevant almost. Like, because I was studying a lot of people in the space.
Right.
And when they just would push a different product every week, by 18 months, their audience is burned and they don't listen to them anymore.
At all.
So I said, or we start our own. And we do our own thing. And the only thing we ever push is things that we create and things that we come up with. And right away he goes, let's just do our own thing. So that weekend I hit Photoshop and sent Matt on Sunday the logo, the current Art 15.
Right.
Said, what do you think about Art 15 clothing? You know, we're going to be looked at as kind of the hoodlums of the military because our stuff is edgy and it's comedy and it's you know, the same humor that's talked about in the barracks. I was like, so we could be the Article 15 guys. And he was like, yeah, do it. So December of 2013, we incorporated the business. And January 15th of 2014, we launched our first four shirts.
No, it's great because everybody has this perception of what the military is. And when you guys, we have those too. We got them kind of guys as well.
Yeah,
you know,
for
just,
sure.
We're just under the radar. You don't hear about it, but now that we got a chance to come out and going and blowing, man, but it's just, it's your identity. It's perfect, man. It's edgy, but you have to be edgy while we're in. That's our life. It's perfect, man. You guys have.
Well, I remember I was training case officers for the agency when Epic Rap, somebody sent me a link, said, yo, dude, you have to watch this. And it was Epic Rap Battle, Navy SEAL versus Army Ranger. And I saw that and I said, holy shit, these guys hilarious, man.
Dev Group guy showed me.
Yep.
He goes, hey, check this out, man. And I was like, oh, that's good.
That's
man.
Awesome,
they
man.
They got us down good.
The jokes are funny. Like, Matt wrote that so good and it's so equal. Like, it's and then perfect. When we turned around and did Green Beret versus MARSOC, we thought that was so inside baseball that it wasn't going to get any views. And then it turned out to be like our most viewed video up to that point.
Yeah. All right, JT, the question now for me is, because you're still in at this point, Matt's contracting, you guys have something, you know it, you're getting the feedback. How do you guys look at each other square in the face and say, all right, let's go all in?
I think for us, it was fail safes. Like the first year, you know, we had done way more than we ever expected in sales. Like the money was insane. It put us in a whole new, you know, kind of realm, but that's that year is when we said, okay, well let's create Lead Slingers. Like our plan was let's keep creating, you know, what can we sell to this audience without selling, you know, trying to convince them that this is the only glove you should wear.
Right. Which,
and that's like, well, no, let's do liquor. We love liquor. We love booze. Let's make our own whiskey. And that's where when we met Evan, and it was me and Evan was the missing strategic, smart, parental guy that we met. You know,
the opposite. Hey, you got to find the opposites. That's how we get this thing together.
He's the Green Beret.
Hyper creative.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
But he had the leadership and the management and the strategic vision that pulled it all together. And it was like, so at that point, you know, the big thing for me specifically was I was mathematically figuring out, okay, yeah, I had doubled what my salary was in the military from Article 15. But if I take the military away, how much is health insurance?
Yeah.
So it wasn't until all of that balanced out when I said, okay, well, at that point, I said, I just want to go to the Air National Guard. And I transitioned from active duty to the Air National Guard, and I served in the 116th ASOS in Washington State.
Yeah.
And I had jumped out first, and then Matt and I were in Charleston, South Carolina. He was due back to do a refresher up in Virginia and have to deploy again. And he was really just not feeling it. And I looked at him and I started running the numbers. I go, this is what you're making from R15. This is what you have from Lead Slingers, and we have Black Rifle Coffees fired up now. Like, you don't need this. And I kind of go, dude, I jumped both feet in. Like, come in with me. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know what? All right. I was driving him to the airport to fly out to Virginia. And like, we had the conversation and he decided to quit. He called his company then and was like, I'm not going to make it up. I'm done. And that was it.
Wow. Like, awesome. And,
hey,
and
Jared, there's, you know, you've got all these things. You've got Lead Slingers. You've got Article 15, Range 15, all this going on. Where's the failure? When have you failed? There must be failure in here somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Like,
there's got to be something that stands out in your mind, like, man, I learned a lesson from that.
The concert. We tried to hold a music festival or concert night, and it bombed. There was another number of reasons that it bombed. One of them being just the attention that was put on it. You know, we were fractioned because of Range 15 still being in post-production and everything like that. Like, I took on too much too soon. Wasn't able to give my whole self to that concert.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of things went wrong with it, and we ended up losing money. And, I mean, we paid everybody that we owed money to, but, you know, I ended up losing our company's money, which I paid back myself
right.
to them because – I mean, that's how you keep good business partners. It was my idea. It was me that raised my hand and said I wanted to take lead on that. And then when it came out that we were in a deficit, I took responsibility for it and said, just, you know.
Good on you.
That's what we do, man. That's awesome. What we do. Good job.
I mean, so what kind of lessons, I mean, how did that inform you guys going forward in business and in projects after that?
Well, that was just one of those things, like you said. We had this at that time frame. We had this clothing company that was just taking off through the roof. We had the coffee rolling out. We had the liquor going. And then we just did this movie. Like, I did get cocky and feel like we can fucking own anything. So I'll hold a concert. And the thing was, is I've never done that before. So I don't know the industry. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to speak to music agents. I know how to speak to movie star agents, but it's a whole different world.
Yeah.
I don't know how to promote a ticketed show because I'd never done it up to that point. And so I just bit off more than I can chew, and I fucking got cocky and I fucking lost my ass on it.
I love it. All right. Well, for all the guys, before we wrap it up, for all the people out there that are in that space where, holy shit, I want to make the transition. I have a passion. I want to do it. I've seen all these other guys be able to go out, do it well. What advice can you give, you know, that guy that's still in or right out, or what can you say to the people you know, that really are struggling with taking that big leap of faith?
They have to be. If that's their plan, you need to wake up every single morning and say, what am I going to do in the next 18, 16 hours that I'm awake that's going to get me one step closer to where my end state is? And you better be doing something every day. And that's it. Even if it's just watching a tutorial on creating an ad or watching a tutorial on how to use Photoshop, or because it doesn't matter what kind of business you go into. I'll revert it to this. People that go to Hollywood and think, I'm just going to Hollywood because I want to be a director, I think that's stupid. Because you're chicken before the egg.
Yeah.
You need to understand photography, shot placement, editing, you know, how to tell a story, how to write. You cannot just walk in and say, no, I want to be a director. Because you can't be a good director if you don't understand all those things. If you look at our greats, all of them are writers. All of them, you know, you look at the Spielberg documentary that they did on HBO. Fascinating. But one thing that you noticed about Spielberg, he was in the weeds with his DPs in every film, saying, I want a low shot. So as a director, he was telling these guys exactly what he wanted the feel to be to tell the story. So equating that to business is you cannot have a goal to be, I want to be a CEO and run my business. Like you have to understand how to create customers, network and create relationships, and then essentially build your brand to be an authentic brand that tells your story or what your vision is. Amen. Because if you, and I see it, and the guys that are in it to brag to everybody that they're a business owner and they're a CEO, they don't succeed.
Right.
Because they never dove in the weeds. They never dove to, again, create customers, understanding how to go out and create customers, understanding how to not only create a network, but maintain a network.
Yeah.
That's the hardest one.
Yeah.
How many guys do you know that can't show their faces places because they've left too much destruction behind them?
Burning bridges. Yeah.
And it's sad, but that behavior comes a lot from our community when they get out, because guys just think that they have to come in with the vigilance and violence.
Yeah.
And they have to say, no, you got to listen to me because I was a soft operator. You're going to use this because I'm telling you to, and it's the best because I deployed 10 times. It's like, and everybody else sucks. I've seen people make that mistake so quick
when they
launch a new brand and their marketing strategy is everything else sucks.
Yep.
Like,
yeah. Well, you come out with that operator mindset, but hey, look, man, in order to get that operator mindset, you had to go through training. And anytime you shift directions and get out of the military, that's a beautiful part about what that taught us is like, hey, man, I wanted to be a Navy SEAL, but I also wanted to go through BUDS to get all of that to become one. Because you can't just walk in there and say, I wanted to be a Navy SEAL so bad. I wanted it so bad that I know I can do it. Just give me my try and we'll go. I can figure it out on the fly. That's not how it works, man. Because even after we go through all that training, you get to the team, you're just a new guy. Right, you just got to earn your spot.
Start
climbing the ladder, right? And each one of those holds a place. And when you... Yeah, everybody looks at the CEO and wants to be him. Everybody looks at the baseball champion and wants to be him. Man, but what you can't see is what's behind that, right? That the reason they're so happy when they win is because they had to work their ass off. That's the celebration. And, of course, everybody sees the joy, and that's the only part they want. But you can't have joy unless you've had the struggle behind it. I mean, it's just like when somebody gives you something, yeah, you love it, but you don't appreciate it like you do if you had to earn it. And every time you get out, man, like I want that warrior mindset. I'd appreciate that. But guess what? I'm going to send your ass back to BUDS and this side of it. And then when you get back up here, you'll be ready and you'll understand.
And Marcus, I feel bad sometimes because people always ask me, oh man, what was it like making Range 15? And it's like, we achieved a dream of millions of people that nobody will ever get to do, like, and have that opportunity. And we are so lucky to be there. But like, my response is like, that was a fucking ass kicker. It was a miserable time. And it was a miserable time because we couldn't fuck that up, because we had over like 18,000 people in the community that had donated to this. We can't fight and we can't argue and we can't We can't not deliver, because if we do, we have to disappear off the internet at that point.
Yeah.
Like,
amen.
Kissing
and
goodbye.
I think you see. Yeah. No, I, what I love about you guys is your ability to come up to brainstorm as a great collective, a great group of minds from very different backgrounds, but to have the confidence in one another, to really support one another day in and day out, to try new things, but to learn what you need to learn along the way so you're doing it with the very minimal amount of failure, right? Because I know I've talked to Evan at length. I talked to him quite a bit about, man, we want to try this. And then you go out and you hit a little roadblock, but you adapt and adjust to what the market is telling you to do, to what your fans are telling you to do, what your consumer. I mean, you guys are so in touch with your consumer that it shows with how successful everything has been. And I just want to give you guys bravo, Zulu, man. It's awesome. All right. Well, JT, man, I just can't thank you enough. Where can people, what do you got going on? What's coming out next? Where people can follow you and follow Black Rifle and everywhere else?
The next stuff is really just focusing on the podcast right now. I mean, that's kind of where I am for us, because you know how we work, Dave, is we split. You know, Matt's now the VP of Black Rifle Coffee, which is a huge position in a company that is massive now. Yep. So, I mean, that's why you're not seeing his presence a lot in social media, because the guy's fucking working, and he's working a big corporate job, and he's working his ass off, and he is, you know, risen up to that level now.
Do me a favor, JT. Tell him to work more, because I got to get Evan down from 100 hours a week to somewhere where I'm not going to be worried about his heart attack.
Get Evan to work less.
Yeah. I mean, even if he comes down to 90 hours a week, it'd give me a much better a place in my heart that he's not going to have a heart attack, man.
And, you know, doing these new joint projects with you guys, like I was talking about, where we do, you know, 3 days of joint recording where we're flip-flopping shows and making a bunch of video content for them, because, you know, I want to help everybody that's out there trying to do this stuff and grow and get better. You know, you guys have learned all the stuff you've learned with your audio setup and your video setup, just like we've learned everything. Like, we got to be getting together more.
Well, like, it's so funny, man. It's so funny, JT. I came back, and the first thing I did, I took photo. You know, Dave took me through how the setup and everything, and I took photos, and I immediately came back and showed Wizard. And I'm like, hey, man, this is what they got all set up. And he goes, dude, they have a whole studio. This is Marcus's media room.
That's a true story.
No, we're coming out, dude. I promise
Baby
you
steps.
We're coming out. Yeah.
Baby steps.
We want to learn as much as we possibly can from you guys, because you guys are crushing it, dude. All right, where can people follow you, JT?
Instagram is JTArticle15, and Facebook, just Jared Taylor, 2 R's, JARRED, Jared Taylor. And I put out like my own flavor of things on my Instagram. It's like the, you know, the crispy interview videos. Yeah. You know, I do my own video production, as well as the stuff I do for Article 15 and Black Rifle and Lead Slingers.
I love your stuff, man. There's always those new crispy ones. I swear to God, I'm literally laughing out loud in the airports when I'm seeing them, man. You're doing an amazing job.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, God bless you, and we hope to see you soon. Thank you so much for coming on, man.
Thank you.
Bye, man.
Take care.
Awesome.
Bye.
Marcus, man, the guy is just filled with just boundless energy. And you know his brain, like Matt's brain, and I certainly know Evan's brain never shuts off. And they just gotta keep just delivering, you know, and it doesn't seem like feeding the content monster for them is a problem, right? You know, it's just
one
natural.
One thing feeds another, yeah.
Totally. And I think that's the real...
They hungry.
They got that. Don't you feel that when you're around those guys?
Oh, yeah. You just kind of swing in there, like, wait a minute, these guys are running on a fast track.
They are literally drinking their coffee intravenously.
Yeah. Fast track, and you meet one of them, and you meet one behind the one, and they spin so fast. It's awesome to watch them work, man.
Well, it's you listen to his story, and really, it's remarkable that he can go from the skater kid. Right up Northern California, and then in Washington, and then shift and become a tack P, and then really shift back to this, you know, lifelong passion of making videos and delivering content and finding something unique about what he loves to do and marrying all these cool, you know, these
living out their dreams. They're
walking that path, yeah, man. Yeah.
Walking life, and they're like, wow, man, that's what everybody gravitates towards, and it's just...
You can feel it on them.
Yeah.
The genuineness.
Just, yeah, the density and the scars and everything that goes with them, man, it makes that... It's powerful. And the harder they push, man, they track those guys with them, and they faster and faster, slow, well, smooth, smooth, fast, man, they're good.
Well, they certainly have influenced literally millions of people out there. I don't, you know, I think he was being generous with the Drinking Brothers podcast with 300 million downloads. I guarantee it's more than that. I know their videos are well into the hundreds of millions of views. I mean, they are really a powerhouse in our community, and I believe they're a powerhouse in the entertainment world as well, too. So we're just so proud of you, JT, and all the rest of the guys over there. Thank you so much.
Because there's nothing more entertaining than trying to just get your ass through war. If you have a second to
if you
step
need
back
something to keep your attention
and watch that unfold, it's hilarious, right? It's calamity.
Could you what we ought to do is write us,
well, it is really, and they tap that, right? And it's, yeah, good job.
What we
guys
ought to do is make a war movie with cameos from all the military based entertainers out there right now, awesome. Right. Have one with Kyle Lampard, Pat McNamara, you know, all the dudes from all
the...
Yeah,
of man, right? Yeah, kind of like a Venturian hole.
Oh, that'd be epic, dude. And make it a comedy, too, right? Yeah.
No, but it is funny, man. Life's hard, and it's funny hard, you know?
Well, you and
if you cry at it, that's the bad part. If you laugh at it, you're like, man, that was a good one.
Well,
man, I can't believe I lived, you know what I mean?
I think you're at the root of what this show's all about, right? Is the fact that humor can really lift your spirits when you're getting hammered. It really is.
I mean, there's times when you're getting hit so hard and you're crying and miserable, but there's a laughter that comes out. That's kind of when you know you're down there.
Yeah. When the only
man,
thing,
this must be bad because I'm laughing and it's not good.
I love it, man. I love it. If this is your first time listening, man, thank you so much. We hope you had a good time. We hope you learned a bunch of stuff. We hope you're inspired by JT's, his life path. If you're a repeat offender, man, God bless you. We love you so much. Thank you. Without you, this show just wouldn't even be possible. Thank you. Before we move on, I just have to bring this up, right? If anybody out there's like me, you've been wearing the same uniform for the past 20 years, right? I've got my Converse on, I've got my cutoff BDU tire stripes and my holy brown tee from Buds, man. And it just ain't cutting it. Just ask my girlfriend. Well, guess what? There's a solution for guys like us out there that are struggling, that are working our butts off, who hate going to malls. I don't even know if malls exist anymore. Do they, gents? Well, we've got a solution at StitchFix.com. Now, Stitch Fix is an online personal styling service that finds and delivers clothes, shoes, and accessories to fit your body, your budget, and your lifestyle, which is nuts like mine, right? Just go to StitchFix.com/TNQ. Tell them your sizes, what styles you dig, mine is tactical, by the way, and how much you want to spend on each item. You'll be paired with your very own personal stylist. I'll probably have to go through 10 of them, but we'll find one for me, I guarantee it, who will handpick items that they will be sent right to your door. Think about that, right to your door, where you then pull it out, try it on, and you pay only for what you love, and then return the rest. Shipping, exchanges, and returns are always free. They give you the labels, the bags, everything. There's no subscription required. You can sign up to receive scheduled shipments or get your Stitch Fix whenever you want. Stitch Fix's styling fee is only $20, which is applied toward anything you keep from your shipment. Easy day, right? Now, here is the deal. If you get started right now, today, at stitchfix.com/TNQ, and you will get this, 25% off when you keep all the items in your box. That's 25% off when you keep all the items in your box. That's stitchfix.com/TNQ. Get started today. I'm telling you, you won't be sorry. Your loved ones won't be sorry because finally, you will have some style. All right. Now it's time to end our show with another amazing, incredible listener write-in story. So here we go. A bit of background on my story. I live in South Africa, and at the time of my Never Quit story, I was living on a farm, which is kind of a dangerous thing to do these days. 16 November 2012, about 1:30, I woke up to find a man nearly entering into my bedroom while his buddies were trying to break in the door, silently. He noticed I moved and said he had a gun, and if I moved, he would shoot. I slowly stood up next to my bed, took a deep breath, and said to myself, "This is it. Here we go. Remember your training. Let's get out of this alive." He jumped in, punched me in the face, and told me not to move. His buddies now had gotten through the door, and one began to disconnect my PC and search for other things. The guy with the gun and other two buddies with knives stood in front of me. Remaining calm, I assured them that I was not going to fight. They may take whatever they wanted and leave. He pistol whipped me in the forehead. I fell to my knees. Pistol whips me on the back of my head. Now I'm just looking at their feet, thinking to myself, this is not good. I start to get up and he hits me again, so I went back down. I can feel the blood pouring. I can taste it too. I thought to myself, should I just stay down? Maybe they will leave me alone if I play dead. This is when I decided not to quit. I decided that I was going to stand back up no matter what they did to me. I was not just going to allow them to take my life like that. They'd have to work for it. They were struggling to get the PC out of what for whatever reason. So while I'm pleading with the gunman, his buddies decide to lunge at me with a knife. I spotted it, but too late, and managed to deflect it with my left forearm. But it still went into my chest. As he stepped back, I only saw the handle sticking out of me. That was it for me. I knew now they wanted to kill me. No matter what, no matter how non-aggressive and cooperative I was being. I wanted the gun now. So every time he hit me when I stood up, I would inch closer to him. Kick me, same thing. I was moving in, closing the distance, and he wasn't noticing. Finally, the guys ran out with my PC and other stuff, and I was just left with the gunman. He was now backing up, but didn't realize how close I was. I sidestepped, and took my half-broken door and hit him with it, pretty sure breaking his arm between the door frame. I heard him run down the stairs, and I was shouting out my window for help. I saw him running through the garden. I spent a total of 28 hours in the ICU and 21 stitches. The knife missed my heart and hit my sternum, causing it to break from the handle. My deflection and body movement meant it missed everything. No internal bleeding or concussion. I will never forget that moment. I decided to stand back up. And now, since finding Team Never Quit, I know I have found a home. Thank you guys for doing this. And thank you for allowing us to share our stories. Well, David, hell yeah, brother. Way to stand up for what's right and what's yours, man. I love those stories when people rise to the occasion and they don't get bullied at the highest level, man. Mm. There's nothing I hate more than people who try and take what's not theirs, and I commend you on doing it, man. God bless you. So I want to end by obviously thanking the Lord, thanking Christ, thanking Jonna, thanking my girls, thanking my mom and my dad. thanking for all the people that have inspired me to follow my passions in life, to do this show. I want to thank JT, man. God bless you and all your buddies and the whole crew for doing what you're doing. I want to thank our readers or our listeners. Man, without you guys, what the heck? I wouldn't be living out my dream. I wouldn't be a dream walker, Marcus. And I want to thank you cats, man, because truly this is one of the greatest gifts I could ever have is doing this show with you. Love
you. Absolutely.
My pleasure, brother. Yeah, good job, man. Sometimes when you come in, things go bad, they go real bad, and sometimes you just got to keep getting up, no matter what. Way to take it, man. Way to be resilient and stand up for yourself. Welcome to the team, right?
Yeah. Welcome to the team.
And welcome to the team. And thank y'all, everybody keeps bringing us back and listening to us, man, letting us do this. JT, brother, I hope you guys the best. And man, every dream comes true. It's been a blessing just to watch you guys work.
Yeah.
And be a part of that. Thank y'all for having me on and being in your movie and all.
Cameo.
Yeah, cameo and all. But seriously, every day that goes by, man, it's amazing that we get a chance to do this and come on and talk to these people and hear these stories and then share them with everybody else. It's amazing. Thank you all for allowing that to happen, and I'm out.